This is the Age of Mind podcast. Welcome back to the Age of Mind podcast. I'm your host, TJ McGraw. Hopefully y'all like the new intro music. I had to change it up a little bit. I don't know if I just got bored of it or if I felt like it needed some spicing up, but I like it. I'm into it. Love to hear your feedback. Get a hold of me, reach out, send an email, find me on Facebook, all that stuff. Yeah, we'll get into that in a second. But this episode, I'm trying to do a segment. So I have like a segment of like news or opportunities or something like that. Kind of like a current events segment at the beginning of the show, and then like we get into the meat of it in the second part of the show. But I had a great interview with Brent Brownlee from Supreme Lending. We talk about opportunities with buyers right now, and we went a little bit long. So it's a new segment that I'm trying to bring on. I call it Lean on a Lender, and that's a little play on words. I think it's funny. I don't know. Hopefully you get it, Lean on a Lender. So that's what's up with this one. So the interview went a little bit long. So we're still working out like how to fit both segments in. I'm committed to making this podcast, the episodes shorter than they were in season one. So, for that sake, I do have a second part of this episode. It talks about the buyer presentation, like how to set up a buyer presentation and what to do, what to bring with you, pack it and all that stuff. Just kind of, start to finish. 'Cause that's where we left off the last episode. We did the buyer's flow chart, buyer lead flow chart, converting buyer leads. And then we kind of left it with buyer consultation. So we went into like, what is a buyer consultation? How do you get it? How do you set it up? All that stuff. So, we're going to skip that part in this episode. We're going to make it next week's episode. And I hope y'all enjoy what Brent has to say. We're talking rehab loans today, and how that might be an opportunity for buyers in a lot of the markets, in most markets right now, just because interest rates are high and there's no relief really with values. Like values are still remaining high. They're still continuing to rise. So, finding a home that may need a little work and getting into it with a rehab loan might make sense for some buyers. And we dig into that. So before we get talking to Brent, I just want to let everybody know or ask everybody go to the Facebook group. I just changed the name back to The Agent Mind. So it's facebook.com/TheAgentMind or facebook.com/groups, The Agent Mind. Anyways, the group is called The Agent Mind. If you search for that, you should find it. Go on there, join that. There's going to be more and more information on there. Certainly announcements as new episodes hit. Definitely gonna throw that on there. And hopefully we're just getting some trinkets. I'd love to get some good conversation going on there. So the more it grows, the better it'll be. That, and if you are interested in learning more about coaching or partnering with us, reach out to me, send me an email at tjmcgraw@theagentmind.com. Or if you just have a question, or if you like the show or you don't like the show, you got some feedback, shoot me an email, tjmcgraw@theagentmind.com. And I'll shut up now. We'll dig into the interview with Brent. So, of course, I have our co-host, James Dickey, with us today. How's it going, James?
It's going great, man. Glad to be here again and just looking forward to this conversation.
Awesome. So I've been thinking about what to call this segment. Is we have Brent Brownlee on from Supreme Lending. We're going to talk – we'll talk about that in a second, what we're going to get into. But I was thinking of calling it calling it Leaning on a Lender. What do you think about that?
Leaning on a lender.
Don't lean too much.
Leaning on a lender.
Anyway. I got the graphic in mind already.
like lean because a home loan is a lean. Get it?
Anyways, I like it.
That's cheeky. That's my dad joke. Like my dad puns there for you. So Brent, man, welcome to the show, man. I appreciate you taking the time out, coming on and talking with us today.
Thanks, TJ. Thanks for flying me out here, putting me up in.
Yeah, we're not that kind of show yet. Cool.
But no, it's fun, man.
Yeah, and I wanted Brent to come on here because we've been talking about rehab loans and where there's an opportunity maybe in this market right now. Mm-hmm. Now I want to kind of give a disclaimer. we're in Georgia. So a lot of stuff we talk about, I don't know if it's Georgia specific. So we're going to speak in generalities so that, you know, to kind of have an idea, because there's rehab loans everywhere. And if you think this might be something that you could utilize, then definitely speak to the lender in your area, call your favorite lender and ask them about the stuff that Brent talks about today. So Brent, man, I guess like what's a rehab loan? Well, let me, before I ask you the question, this is it. So with the high interest rates and home values not going down, there's not a crash happening at all. Nope. So we're just kind of looking for opportunities to get our buyers into houses. So that's like always, especially if you're really working with a lot of buyers, you may run into the frustration of like, they just can't afford the payments on the home. So even though they have a good job and they're contributing members to society with good credit, they might just not be able to afford the payment on the home because of the value of the homes are continuing to rise and interest rates right now are a little bit high. So you are going to tell us about this opportunity that may or may not, it could be a tool for your tool belt basically as an agent that may be able to help get your buyers into a home. So I'll kick it off to you, man. Just tell us about what is a rehab loan and how could it help?
Yeah, I think it's that. I think it's a tool in the tool belt as much as anything. But let me put it in context. And again, the numbers and the specifics that I may use is maybe Georgia or Metro Atlanta specific, but the context of it should be similar all around the country. You know, right now we still have, I had this conversation twice today with two potential buyers, right? Like there is still very much a short supply, which is why it's very different than it was 14 years ago, 15 years ago, right? We have very little supply, and especially very little supply of affordable housing. And affordable can be different depending on where you live. Where we are in Metro Atlanta, maybe the South Metro, I would say affordable. I would put it somewhere between the twos into the 400s into the affordable category. It's still very hard to find and very competitive when you do find it. And the problem that we've had over the last year is with interest rates going up and prices still going up and very short supply and a lot of competition, is a lot of people in that affordability range are just priced out of the market in terms of the monthly payment, that kind of thing. And so a lot of people who would otherwise potentially qualify to buy a house just can't simply afford it. So then they're faced with several options, right? Those options are to rent something, to maybe find a different area to buy a house, move, and or find a house that has a lower value, again, which is hard to find. But where this is where this comes up as a potential tool in the tool belt. You know, maybe there are homes out there that are listed that have been sitting longer than some other homes because they need a lot of work. As a matter of fact, I had this situation in my neighborhood, like just recently, just closed last week. You know, and this house was probably 30% under the average sale of other homes in my neighborhood. It's not a very big neighborhood. And it was a hot mess, needed a bunch of work. And actually, I looked at it, the owner of that. And actually, this is a good example to use. I looked at this house a year and a half ago, probably, when my best friend wanted to buy a house. And I knew this house was a lot of work. I knew that he knew how to do the work. And I knew the guy who lived there needed help to get out of the house and couldn't afford to do the work. So I was like, renovation loan, perfect scenario for this. That didn't work out. Fast forward a year and a half. He wants to list the house. He wants a certain amount for it. I think if it were something like an FHA loan, it definitely wouldn't pass like an FHA appraisal. There would have to be work done to it. And so this is a really good example for someone who was able to get into the area we're in. The purchase price, 30% under what other homes would have been. And then also come alongside, you know, with the renovation, and I didn't do the loan on this particular one, but come alongside with the renovation to get the house back in shape, get what they want out of it, and potentially build in a little equity apart from just the down payment. And so there, I think that you'll find homes like that to help people get into something that's a little undervalued right now. Again, it's still gonna be hard to find. Inventory is still an issue. And but it's worth knowing the basics of the renovation loan programs. That way, if you do see something out there, it's not an immediate turnoff. Like, oh man, that thing needs a ton of work. It's like, needs a ton of work, maybe an opportunity.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It made perfect sense to me because it's almost, I mean, you hear the term house hacking. Mm-hmm. I'm sure as a real estate agent, we've probably heard the term house hacking quite a bit.
Today,
yeah, it just comes up. So that this is kind of one of those things where if you have a client, this is really great for a younger client or like a first time home buyer or the folks that just aren't in a position where they have a lot of equity in another home that they're selling to be able to get into, put a big down payment on another home and afford the interest rate and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, looking some diamonds in the rough and looking for homes that might need just a little bit of TLC, some love, mm-hmm. and then, getting them into a rehab loan. Now it sounds easy, right? But you have to be prepared for a little bit more, like jumping through hoops, for lack of a better description, a little more red tape. So speak to that a little bit, like what this doesn't, you know, we don't want this to be a tutorial on rehab mm-hmm. loans. We just want to, you know, let people know or get people thinking about, remind people of them that they're out there and there might be an opportunity. So just like, but just give us the basics. What is it? Like, what is it? And what are the different products out there?
Yeah, that's easy breezy.
Okay. Good question. Okay,
that's good.
Good point.
And let me start by saying what it's not. What we're talking about is not a loan for flips. Like, not that. Mm-hmm. This is a loan for people who want to buy a house that's either going to be a primary residence, you know, it does work for second homes, vacation homes. And it also does work for investment properties, meaning rental properties, not flips. Flips is a whole different ballgame. But let's just talk specifically about primary residence, because that's the majority of where we're going here. It's renovation loans are, you know, it's either FHA, like just like a standard FHA loan, or it's going to be a conventional loan, standard Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac loan. Renovation loans are the same, right? And the basics of it are a renovation loan covers the purchase of the house plus the renovations that you're going to do to the house. And so let's just say, for example, the purchase is $300,000 and you're going to do $100,000 of work. You have a total project cost of $400,000. That $400,000 project cost to a lender, we then look at that as if it were the new purchase price. So if they're going to put down 5%, it's 5% of $400,000, not at the actual purchase price. And so who is it a good fit for it? Going back to the idea that it's FHA or Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, you know, regular conventional loans, the same rules apply for the most part. The same rules apply. You know, different lenders are different. Like if our minimum credit score for an FHA loan is 580, well, we might have an overlay on that says minimum credit score for FHA renovation loan. It might be 640 or something. And again, check with your lender. That's going to be very different depending on the lenders. My perspective on that is I am kind of a fan of those overlays, to be honest with you, because they are, renovation loans do add a layer of complexity to a transaction because you have to, the appraisal on any of them, whether it's FHA or conventional, the appraisals are done based on the renovations being complete, which means that the appraiser has to get a copy of all the plans and specifications and the everything for the renovation from a general contractor, right? That's a lot of work to do for an appraisal. You know, where typically you're just ordering appraisal kind of day one, you know, and off to the races. And this one, that home buyer's got a lot of work to do in addition to all the other work they have to do. So if you have a very, let's say, complicated home buyer, you don't necessarily want to roll in a complicated process as well and make it doubly complicated.
Why not?
That makes sense. Yeah.
Because when that happens, you know, in real estate world, it's not like 1 + 1 = 2. like complicated plus complicated equals like quadruple complicated. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Unfortunately. So, yeah. I think a lot of us know exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And so I've been in a couple of different companies, and one of the companies that I was at, they had probably the best suite of construction renovation products of anywhere I've seen. They no longer exist, unfortunately. The company doesn't. They were bought by a different company. They were amazing at it. They were amazing at renovation construction. And they had a minimum credit score of 680, which is pretty high for a minimum for renovation loans. But that was their philosophy. And what it did is it made their entire process work pretty seamlessly. So anyway, as a realtor, as a lender, what I'm getting at is like, if you don't oversell renovation loans, don't oversell it. Like, make sure that you have someone who can handle the complexities of that process, because it'll make everyone very stressed.
I think the metaphor of a tool and a tool belt is very apropos in the fact that a tool isn't for everybody.
That's a great way to put it, James.
You have the right tool for the job.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah, you have the right tool for the job, for sure. Yeah, so it does take a little, critical thinking, if you will, when you're dealing with, for buyers. If you have a buyer that's just like, they work hard, especially someone that might be, blue collar. I mean, I'm not saying that only blue collar people can get the loan, but somebody that understands the process of, you have to get a general contractor, and this goes into like your communication skills have to be pretty good because it is so common. And the more complicated a transaction, the more you can communicate, the more likely you are to keep it together. I think we all can kind of relate with that. Yeah. And the more information you can give that person, and the more guidance, the better off you are. So I would say, don't just pull it out. Like, you'll regret it if you say it to every buyer and say, hey, let's just look for something we can rehab, and we'll get a rehab loan. Easy peasy. It should be prefaced with, it should be prefaced with, you know what? We've been looking for houses for a minute. Mm-hmm. Like I have an idea that might work. It might not, but it might work. I'm going to pull our lender in, talk about it, about a rehab loan, a renovation loan, and what that might look like. But I need to warn you, Mr. Mrs. Buyer, it's more of a process. It's going to take longer to close. You know, you're definitely going to have to do more work, not just getting your paperwork into the lender, but we're going to have to get quotes from contractors. We're going to have to get all sorts of other stuff. There's another layer of stuff that you have to provide and get, and all the T's you have to cross and all the I's you have to dot.
It's a layer of pre-qualification that we have to make sure that we pre-qualify, our clients before we get to that step.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good
way. There's another step to it. If I was a realtor looking at potentially doing renovation loans, I would vet a few contractors as well, because that's an important part of it. You're going to want to find a couple of contractors that can, that have the capacity to handle anything from $15,000 to $20,000, kind of a small cosmetic update type situation on some things, up to maybe a couple $100,000. You're finishing a basement, you can add square footage. I would bet a couple of contractors. And the contractors, you don't want somebody who's used to just working off their tailgate, because they're going to have to provide the lender with a lot of information.
That's why I was chuckling. It's like, when you're getting a quote, like the text of the total sum of all the work is not going to work.
Nope.
So I've had contractors like, hey, first of all, if I can get them to answer me back, like, okay. Yeah. And then they do, it's just a text of like, yeah, that's going to cost $10,000. Yeah. So can you kind of break it down and like, can you itemize that for me?
Yeah. Yeah. So a lot of contractors are familiar with these processes because it becomes important to them, because how they get paid is interesting, right? So they might get a little advance at closing, but then they've got to have the ability to carry some of those things until there can be a series of draws after the closing from an escrow account. And so, so having the contractor be really aware of how these work is important, And there's a lot that I've never dealt with this before. And then there's some that are familiar with it. And those are the ones you really want to use for this kind of thing.
Gotcha. Well, I had a question. What kind of time frames or time limits are there on a renovation loan? So is this going underwriting and all that stuff? Is it can be has to be done within 6 months or a year? Is it a specified amount of time?
Typical is if it's a pretty large scope of a project, they really do want it done in about 6 months.
Gotcha.
Most of them don't take that long. They're usually finished in the kitchen, you know, redoing some flooring, that type of situation. But yeah, 6 months is pretty typical. As far as if you're a realtor and you're looking at going into something like this with the potential client, you know, I would say a 45 day contract is what you're going to want to look at.
Okay.
You know, so if we get back into a situation where rates drop and then there's a bunch of competition, a bunch of buyers, it's real hard to do renovation loans in that environment because there's not in that environment, sellers want to move fast. They don't want to wait 45 days. They don't have to wait 45 days. You know?
Right.
So this isn't going to work. It's still not going to work in some markets, but there are some markets have slowed down. Yeah. And because of the interest rates mainly. Mm-hmm. And the interest rates are home values are still pretty high. So it's kind of, you know, as we said before, it may be, it's a tool for your tool belt. We keep saying that, keep reiterating that. It's just another option, especially if you love to solve problems, the most agents do, that's, you know, kind of, we get a little jolt. It's a little dopamine rush when we get to solve a problem for sure. So it's like that, this is just another thing that, we can add in there for sure.
Can I throw out just a few short highlights to help people sort of spot the zebra, if you will? So, you know, keep in mind, again, check with, you know, what area you may be in of the country. But generally speaking, you know, conventional loans have gone up to around the 750 ranges in terms of the maximum loan amount for conventional loans. And then the 500s for FHA loans. Again, totally depends on county and area of the country, that kind of thing. But those are pretty high loan amounts, right? Mm. So that still leaves a fair amount of wiggle room to make these things work, even on bigger deals, you know, and maybe not just first time home buyers, like maybe a third, fourth, fifth time home buyer who just really is picky about their kitchen.
Well, that brings up a question for me, which is a good question. So I'm glad that you reminded me to ask this. Like, are we talking about? Like if somebody finds a house and it turns out like it's a full gut and it might take longer than 6 months, is this still an option?
Still an option
for that kind of house.
Run it by the lender. Still an option. If it's a full gut, you can, there's even, again, without getting too deep into the details, like you can even get away with tearing a house down to the foundation. Foundation has to remain intact, but it can go down to the foundation and pretty much rebuild the entire thing. And it's still considered a renovation because the foundation was still remaining intact.
Yeah.
So pretty robust, like you can do a lot with them. You know, as far as like we talked about credit score a little bit, down payments are the same as FHA and conventional, 3.5% on FHA, as little as 3% on conventional. Yeah, you can even finance to where it's a little different than other purchases. You know, you can't directly finance closing costs on, you know, the seller can always pay, right? So sort of indirectly paying for it there. But with renovation loans, there's a portion of the renovation costs that are financed into the loan. And you can even, if it's a pretty large scope, like you're going to completely gut the whole thing, you can even finance a few of the initial mortgage payments. So that way, if it's going to take 6 months and they got to go rent something and you're kind of having to deal with that, then, and they're like, we can't afford to get away with paying like two rent or mortgage payments for 4 months.
Cool.
There's even
That's awesome. That's good to know. That's it. I did not know about rehab loans. So it's a good option out there. So this is for, if you have a buyer that is okay with a little extra work. Mm-hmm. And seeing a diamond in the rough, a lot of buyers, I mean, they can't even get past the color of, you know, the paint on the walls. So this is not for that type of buyer. or like if the carpet needs to be changed, like, you know, the buyer looks like, oh my God, I can't move in that place. The carpet's filthy. Like, well, you know, you can change a carpet. That's pretty fairly simple thing to do.
Yeah.
So it's not for that kind of buyer, but it's for a buyer who can see like, oh yeah, I could see with enough money, I could make this place really gorgeous, really, you know, make this place a perfect home. That type of person. And then the property you're looking for is one that's been sitting on the market for a little while that people keep passing over and passing over. Like that's the one you're going to look for. If it's been on the market for 3 days, you'll have a harder time convincing that seller to get into a 45-day contract or a 50-day contract. Yeah. And there's the aspect of you have to explain what the process is to the seller. And a lot of listing agents aren't that motivated to work a little more in educating their sellers as well. So not talking bad about anybody, but we all know we've all worked with agents that just seem to not want to work, but you know, those agents, they're living their life and they're hiking their own hike. So we'll just let them roll with it, but cool. So this has been awesome. And this isn't a tutorial. We could go deep into this and really talk about like what it's all about, but this is more of a hey, you know, there, if you have a buyer, you can't get them into anything because they just can't afford the prices right now. This might be an option. This might be something, but you need to have a lender that understands the process and is willing to do it. And like you said, finding a contractor mm-hmm. that has some experience with rehab loans, or at least someone that is, you know, buttoned up, that can provide you with the itemized estimates and all that, and kind of play the game and roll with it. Yeah. So that, really those two things are the most important, I would think. And then, and then you give it a shot. It may not work. You just got to, you know, set expectations and realistic expectation with your buyers, and just, but I'd, you know, rather throw that out than kind of like give up on helping a buyer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Something like that. So this has been awesome. So Brent, I'm going to put your contact information in the show notes. So if you, I didn't even ask you beforehand, but are you want to get some emails from people with questions perhaps?
Yeah. All right. Feel free. All right, cool. Yeah, email me all day long. And you can put my cell phone number in there too. People can text me, call me, email me, anything.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So there'll be some form of contact information from Brent in there. He's with Supreme Lending. We're, of course, I've mentioned this before on the show, but we're in the Atlanta, Georgia area. So just to reiterate, in case you didn't hear the first time, this very general information right here, just to give you kind of an idea of another tool for the tool belt, but talk to your local lender and make sure that you're following all the rules and guidelines and compliance with your own state and municipalities or whatever the governing body in your area is, but check with your lender, make sure that you're doing everything on the up and up. And if you have questions, like legal questions or anything like that, definitely contact your broker. I'm sure your broker has either dealt with this or understands it in your area. So do that. So that's my disclaimer. I had to throw that out there because we're not licensed in every state in the union. So just want to make sure that we're getting that out there. So Brent, thanks so much for coming on. I'm going to have you back for the lean on a lender section.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to make it stick. We might have Coach's Corner too. We'll bring a coach on.
Nice.
Do all that stuff. So cool. All right, man. Thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, all right, sir. Thanks, Brent.